La Push, baby. It's La Push.
Me? A princess? Shut up!
I'll have what she's having.
There's no crying in baseball!
Hi guys, I'm Bailey.
And I'm Shannon, and we're two chicks who like to watch flicks.
Yes, we are. We're changing it up again this week.
Yeah, like a really big change up.
It's not a bad one, though. I feel like hopefully people enjoy this. I don't know.
No, yeah, I think it's good. We're reviewing...
I feel like our movie review thing got a good bit of views.
What movie review thing?
The ones we don't like.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah, so we're reviewing Taylor Swift's newest album, Midnights.
Yeah. I think we're going to do the Midnight 3 a.m. edition.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do those extra songs. But we're only going to do part one this week because we have a lot to say, I feel like.
We do. I think we're just going to split it right in half. So like 10 songs each episode. I'm pretty pumped. I'm a big Swiftie.
Yeah, I mean, I like Taylor Swift. I feel like I went through a period where I didn't like her.
I think I went through like a I'm not like other girls phase, you know?
Yeah.
And
it was probably high school.
Yep.
And I think it was around her 1989 album. Like, same. After that came out, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, it's kind of like ironic or strange. I feel like that's when she got like most of her hate.
Yeah.
It was around that time period. And like, I didn't have a reason to dislike her.
No, and now
I don't even know her.
When I listen to like most of the 1989 songs, I'm like, wow, this is so fun. Like, these are bops.
Yeah.
But I think I was just so in my like, oh, I'm not like other girls. That I like almost like wouldn't let myself just like enjoy it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, I'm just not even going to listen to it until she re-records it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, I will say, I was a Taylor Swift fan right off the beginning, though, because I remember I was in sixth grade, and I remember for my birthday, this is very random, I got her first CD, and I got a Vera Bradley purse.
I remember...
Typical white girl birthday gift.
Yes, I remember her... hearing the song Teardrops on My Guitar on the radio. We were in like fourth grade or something, and my mom was like, oh, this girl, she's only like 16, she's such a good role model, like all that
stuff. Hair was so curly.
It was. And I was like, I love it. And I got her CD for Christmas, and that was like the CD before they had any like bonus songs or anything, because it was like fresh. Like,
I guess I didn't have bonus songs. I mean, I actually still have my CD.
I do too. It's in my I have it in my car because my car is a CD
player.
Mine's
in my car too. Yeah, mine is in my car. I remember being obsessed with the R song, and I saw Taylor Swift in concert.
Dang.
She opened up for Rascal Flatts. I don't know if you ever went to a Rascal Flatts concert.
No, I did
but
not.
In Georgia, there's that big, like, field, Lakewood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rascal Flatts, they would come, like, I don't know if it was every summer or something, but they would come every summer, and we would always go. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've talked about it on this thing, but my, like, what is it, like, your sexual awakening was John Doe. Is that his name? What's his name?
I don't even remember.
From Rascal Flatts. Not the main singer, guys. What's his name? I'm going to be embarrassed. I don't even know
it's
who
the
I'm talking
it's
about.
Like the drummer, right?
No, it's the... what is his name? Why
I
am I
don't
blanking?
Know. I mean, it's okay. We can find out later. But you saw his butt on a music video, right?
Yeah, it shows, like, his butt in the... He's, like, in the shower, so there's, like, glass or whatever, but it shows his, like... Oh, Joe Don. I think I said that, no? Whatever.
I have no idea.
Anyways, he's, like, the lead guitarist. He was so... I just thought he was so cute. And so I was obsessed with Rascal Flatts. So I ended up seeing Taylor Swift through that, which was nice. I remember I got a t-shirt.
That's cool.
Have you seen Taylor Swift in concert?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
And
I mean, I saw her when she literally was just starting out, so, like, I think she played, like, one or two songs.
Yeah, I have not. I'm going to try to get tickets to this tour, which I feel like is going to be really expensive and really difficult.
I heard that she's charging the lowest price is $49.
I saw that, too, and, like, I hope that that's true. Like, that'd be so nice.
She could be, like, Ed Sheeran, who he, like, sold his tickets, and then he, like, bought all them back because a bunch of scammers were buying them to resell them on the, you know, like, those stupid sites. Yeah.
So, she's doing a thing where you can become, like, a verified fan. So you can, like, beat the bots or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
Is
there, like, a limit to where you won't pay for a ticket?
Yeah, but I'm, like, embarrassed to say it because it's, like, pretty high. And, like, I think I think it's a little higher than what Sam would want me to pay.
Is Sam going to go with you?
He said he'll go if his ticket is under $200.
That's funny. My tickets for One Direction were over $100.
I didn't even know you saw One Direction.
I did. I was a 1D fan.
Do you really want to know my limit? I'm, like, embarrassed to say it.
Is it, like, $300, Shannon?
No, I was going to say, like, $500.
Oh, my God. You're going to pay $500 to go see her?
No, I'm not going to, but, like, if those were the only tickets left, like, maybe.
Okay, well.
Sam, if you're listening, just, like, ignore that. He's going to, like, cringe. I think he knows,
$500?
Though, because I've told him, I'm like, I'll pay a lot of money because I've been a fan literally since, like, fourth grade when she was, like, brand new.
Yeah.
And, like, I've never gotten to see her live for just, like, various reasons.
She has really
good
openers, though. I wanted to see
the ones in Atlanta I've never heard of.
Wait, how do you know who's in Atlanta? Where do you see that?
Look on her tour announcement and the little emojis, like, next to each city correspond with what the openers are.
Oh, I did. What the heck? That's crazy.
So, it's not Phoebe Bridgers. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait. Oh, you can actually just go.
I mean, or I'm sure you can find it on her website.
What do you mean? It's going to be... No, it's not,
George. No, it's not. I did the same thing you just did.
Beebadoobie? Oh, wait. I actually do have a song on one of my playlists.
Really?
Fire, yeah. Gracie Abrams. I've heard of her.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said Gracie Abrams. Oh, I heard of her.
I thought you just said Stacey Abrams. I was like, the person running.
You know,
for
when I read that, I thought it was Stacey Abrams as well.
That'd be so weird.
A Beebadoobie. That is the best name. Beebadoobie.
I know. I was like, who the heck is
or
that?
Boba Doobie?
I need to look them up on Spotify.
I kid you not, Shannon, I actually think I do have a song by them because I remember me and Michaela were like listening to something and we were like, Beebadoobie, what is that? We were like, oh, that's an actual person.
Okay, what's your favorite Taylor Swift album before we get started?
Red.
That's a really good one. Mine is probably Speak Now.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like Speak Now I actually didn't listen to that much.
Really?
I mean, there are certain, yeah, like, I don't know, I will say, I don't know every song on Speak Now.
I think
know a lot of them, but, like, that was, like, one album it's like I skipped over that one. I don't know why.
I think that I loved it so much because, I had real, like, she, like, wrote all of her, like, she writes all her own songs, but she, like, did the whole album by herself or something like that. And something about Dear John just really gets me. And then Back to December. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just love the
whole
album.
Back to December is good.
Although Red is definitely up there.
OG one too.
Yo, yeah, same.
Like, I mean, original one is always really good. I feel like you have to be. That's her real country phase, though. Like,
yeah, for real.
I would say her Fearless is kind of like getting.
It's starting to like get a little more pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Speak Now is like a good mix of pop and country, and then Red is like mostly pop.
Yeah.
And then 1989 was like officially pop.
Yeah.
I also am a big Folklore Evermore girly. So.
Oh yeah, same. What's your least favorite?
I feel like I'm about to get really attacked.
Why? What is it?
You know what?
I feel I'm like actually, we have the same one, no?
I, for 1989? A while, yeah.
Yeah. But well, you know, I think mine's 1989 and then kind of Reputation, but it's because I didn't listen to Reputation.
Same. Really. It's because those two albums, I just didn't, for whatever reason, I was just in a weird phase and like,
didn't now, really 1989, listen to them. I did listen to. No. But I don't know. It's very, very poppy.
It is. And listening to the songs now, I actually do like them. And I think that I'll really enjoy it on my listen through when she re-records it. But yeah. I'm not, like, letting myself listen to it all the way through until she re-records at this point. Because I'm like, I might as well wait till it has all the vault tracks.
Have you seen, like, fan theories where they think there's 4 months until her tour starts and they think that she's going to release her, like, next four re-records?
That'd be crazy.
Well, we definitely know that Speak Now is coming next because...
Oh, yeah, that was super... We can talk about
that. She gave so many Easter eggs in her Bejeweled video.
Yeah. And let me be clear that I don't dislike 1989.
No, I actually me either. Do like the album. I when it came out, I literally bought the CD and I have I'm just the like, CD yeah. still. I'm listening to her.
Yeah.
I'm not going towards the album.
Right. I'm much more of like a folksy kind of acoustic-y type of person.
Yeah.
I will say Lover might actually be my bottom one now. I don't know. Lover's weird.
I really thought that Lover was one of your top ones for some reason. I
go through phases. Like, if I'm in the mood for it, I love it. But if I'm not, I don't love it. And I think there's some songs I skip. And I don't know. So for other albums, like, I don't skip any songs. So, like, I don't know. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I love all the albums. I'll just put it that way. But, you know, if you have to rank them...
Me and Bailey have
the hot takes.
Yeah. What? So when, obviously when this album came out, we talked on the phone about it. But we like, did.
We should have recorded our conversation.
I know, we should have. But this is like on TikTok too. When I first listened to this album, I will say it was not my favorite. I was not expecting it to sound like this. Now I will say the more I've listened to it, the more I like it.
Me too. So,
and I feel like that's a census for some people. Like, yes. I've seen on TikTok a lot of people be like, third time listening to Taylor Swift's album, this is good. And then first time they're like, what were you thinking?
when it first dropped, I actually listened to it in the morning because I was asleep when it came out because I worked the next day. But I was kind of like, what is this? You know, because it was so different than what I expected it to sound like. Because all of the pictures and everything made me feel like it was going to be kind of like a 70s,
all of our pictures soft are so rock 70s. Almost. And I feel like these songs are not 70s at all.
No. And so I was expecting like almost a soft rock album or something. Yeah. Or like almost like a Fleetwood Mac type of sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I was thrown off guard and I really liked the lyrics of the songs, but like the sound like really threw me off.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like love it and I felt like a bad Swiftie. But then my second time listening to it, I was like, okay, wait, like it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then my third time listening to it, I was like, okay, like I get it.
Yeah.
So now I actually do really like it. It just took me like, I think a couple of times getting used to it.
Yeah. I will say, that like she ha I just like don't I've seen also this all over TikTok where it's like all you people who liked Evermore and Folklore and now you don't like this album, like you're you guys were the fake Swifties coming in because this is the real OG Taylor. I'm like, what are you talking about? OG Taylor was country. Like, literally she doesn't have a specific genre. I think that's why it makes her unique
so popular. I
was seeing so many of that and I was like, you cannot like, artists have to grow obviously, right? And like sometimes if they change their sound, fans like it and some fans don't. That doesn't mean you're not like a true fan.
Yeah. Like, and like also OG,
you can still OG respect Swift her music but not country. Like some of her songs, I think,
right?
In my opinion. And
I feel like, honestly, I feel like a lot of, like, artist follow, like, stans, I guess, are like this now. It's almost, like, really toxic. Mm-hmm. And, like, you see that, like, not just with Taylor Swift's fan base, but with, like, Ariana Grande or, like, yeah. Harry Styles. It's, like, if you say you're, like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of that one song, people will, like, attack you.
Yeah. They're, like, well, you're not a true fan at all. And it's, like, yeah, what are you talking about? Like,
right. It's, like... It's
like I'm sure that Taylor Swift has certain songs that she's put out that she doesn't like herself.
Right.
Like, if she likes every single one of her songs, then, like, that's, I mean, good for her. But, like, I just feel like that's not realistic. Like, you know?
Right. I agree. Anyways,
that's my opinion. I will say, this album in particular, it's kind of, it's a little different than her... Other ones, I feel like a lot of the songs in this album are more a self-reflection of herself in her relationships. Yes. More than her talking about guys in the relationship.
Yes.
And what they and do.
I think what's so different, too, is, you know, Folklore and Evermore were both very much just her telling stories that weren't even, like, about her or anyone she was dating. You know, they were just, like, kind of, like, made-up stories almost.
Yeah.
And then, like... This album was the complete opposite, where it's, like, literally her inner thoughts.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we can kind of get into it and see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go song by song in order.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So we'll start with Lavender Haze.
Which she actually has already talked about this song, about what it's about anyways.
Yeah, how she said, like, she heard the phrase in a movie, like, an old movie, and it means, from, like, being the 50s. In love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, like, we're firstly gonna assume it's about her and Joe.
Right.
Because lyrics that, like, she has in there, it's, like, I like this, like, one little verse. It's, like, they keep asking me,
as if I'm gonna be your bride.
Yeah. The only kind of girl they see is one night or a wife. And then there's another line that she says in this that I really liked. And she says, no deal, the 1950s shit they want for me. Which I'm like, that's really funny. But that is true. And let's talk about all the fans that keep speculating that she's married to Joe.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is her literally saying, can you guys stop? I'm not. Like, I don't have to be married, but I can still be in a long-term relationship.
Right. Like, they've been together for, what, 6 years now?
Yeah. Everyone's like, they're secretly married. We know. I'm like, this is literally her calling you guys out. Like,
no, I feel like she calls out a lot of stuff on this album, honestly.
Yeah, but, like, fair point. Like, people make so many assumptions about her. And, like, I feel like that's the opposite of what she wants. Which is funny because I feel like her fans do it a lot.
Oh, for sure.
Like, any fan does for anyone, but...
I feel like...
I mean, like, we're doing right now, but...
I know, but respectfully.
Yeah.
But I'm just, to me, the album had a 1989 type of sound.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't like song. It at first.
Yeah, but now I actually do really like this song. At first, yeah, I was like, what? But now I do like it.
And some people don't like this, but, like, when people go, like, high-pitched with their voice, like, some people don't like that, but I don't mind it that much.
I mean, I think if you can do it, it's fine, you know?
Yeah, I will say, I don't know if that's actually her singing, though, like, going that high-pitched, or if it's, like, manipulation a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I don't know either. I also really like in the pre-chorus, it's like, they're bringing up my history, but you weren't even listening, and that reminds me a lot of, the Reputation album, where she says, my reputation's never been worse, so you must love me for me.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, is the same vibe of, like, they're talking about me, but you don't even, like, you don't care, basically.
Which, I will say, we didn't say this at the beginning, but, like, from what she's released about this album, some of the songs I think she has written in the past. They're not all, like, recent songs. Or now, obviously, least, like, I think this one is, but, like, there are some songs that I think could have been written... Like, long
or she
ago.
At least, like, wrote them inspired by her old, like, journal entries from that time or something.
Yeah.
Because she kind of, in her post introducing the album when she first announced it, was like, these are musings from past midnights.
Yeah.
Like, past and present. But yeah, overall, I really, I think it's a very sweet song.
Yeah. I like this song. I think it's very, like, I think this is probably, like, a good woman empowerment song, as in, like, you can kind of do what you want. You don't have to fall into the stereotypes yeah. of society when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
But you can still be in love in that way.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't from a movie. She saw the phrase Lavender Haze in a Mad Men episode. But anyway, I thought the song was pretty good.
Yeah. The next one. Is Maroon, which have you seen people who are like, this is a more dive into Red. It wasn't Red. It was Maroon. That's so which kind of makes me laugh. I just think it's kind of funny. This song is kind of sad though, because it's kind of just like the end of a relationship and like love.
I mean, yeah, it's almost like, I guess I could see it as kind of like an adult version of Red, almost like,
yeah,
like, because when she wrote Red, she was like what, 21, 22?
Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of like that, except it's more like reflecting back.
I definitely on it. Could see this in her Red era. Like, I definitely could see this. Now, the song I don't think would be on her Red album so much. Right. I really don't know what album this would be on.
I don't know. I feel like I could see
this one's just on the Midnight album. This is just on the Midnight album.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I feel like it's in correlation with her Red air. Like, it's like a different version of her Red air, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like if she wrote Red today,
it would be this. It wouldn't be Red. Yeah. It would be Maroon.
It'd be, the whole album will be called Maroon.
Yeah, but I mean, I did like this song, but I just thought it was kind of sad.
It was sad. I like how it starts off with, like, she's, like, they're in love. You know, it's, like, almost telling the story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it starts off, like, when the morning came and cleaning incense off your vinyl shelf because we lost track of time again. Like, they're laughing together. Mm-hmm. Blood rushing to her cheeks, like, so scarlet. I guess a hickey on her collarbone because she says the mark they saw on my collarbone. That too. I'm like, do I need to look up photos of, like, a hickey on her sleeve? See when this was
also let's just point out some of these songs might not even be about her.
I know, it could be about like friends.
Yeah. Anyways,
and then like it starts off they're in love, and then it kind of goes into like they start fighting and then they break up. Yeah. And it's just like, so I don't know, it's like reflecting on an old relationship that wasn't necessarily all bad. Yeah. But it just wasn't like, I literally wrote kind of All Too Well vibes.
Yeah.
Because, let me find, there was a line I feel like that, I think the bridge where it says, and I wake up with your memory over me, that's a real fucking legacy, and I wake with your memory over me, yeah, that's a real legacy to leave.
Yeah.
And I feel like that kind of reminds me of All Too Well, like, where she's like, I remember it, like,
yeah,
you know, like, convincing yourself you remember it correctly, kind of.
Yeah.
And like, just like how All Too Well is like the same sort of, like, they're telling a story, like, oh, like we were laughing in the kitchen and dancing, and but then you left me. You yeah know? I feel like it's very, I guess I could see it kind of on Red if the music was a little more like
different. I soft. Think that's like, yeah. I could see the song lyrics on Red, but as far as like the music and everything with it, I can't see it on the album.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. It's almost like it would have come out in between Red and 1989.
Yeah, true, because it's kind of got that like more pop vibe than Red does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. So our next song, I feel like we're going to have a lot to say about it. Yeah,
well, that's because she released a music video.
Yes.
So we can talk about the video too.
Anti-hero. I think this song is a bop. I really like it.
Yeah. It's this one's also kind of sad. If you like are really listening to the lyrics, like she's essentially saying how much she doesn't like herself.
She's apparently apparently she has said that it's one of the favorite songs she's ever written.
Well, I mean, it is all of her insecurities into one song.
Here's a quote. Anti-Hero is one of my favorite songs they've ever written. I really don't think I've delved this far into my insecurities in detail before. I struggle with the idea that my life has become unmanageably sized, and I, not to sound too dark, but I just struggle with the idea of not feeling like a person. So that's kind of, yeah, it's a very personal song, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think so too. I put that, I think I could see this on 1989 or Lover, honestly.
Yeah, same. I feel like I could see it on Rep too, a little bit.
Really?
Just like, I don't know, the kind of like, oh, my reputation's so bad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it, the song lyrics on that. Now, like, the beat of the song, I couldn't really see it on Reputation, but.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Can
we talk about the really... sexy baby thing?
So, I really don't like it.
I think, okay, here's but... my opinion. I feel like everyone is taking it as something different. Like, yes, some people were, like, so... like some girls who like are bigger were taking it as like they feel big in a room with smaller people, which mm-hmm. I didn't take it as that. I was like, I don't see it that way. Because well, she yeah, says that I'm a monster like, on the hill.
People have been posting like picture compilations with that line because, you know, she's like 5'11 or something.
Yeah.
And like they've been posting just pictures of her like towering over like other famous people.
I don't think it. I don't think she's talking maybe, about that. But I almost no, took I, it as. Like, okay, so she has that. So here's, like, the actual, like, whole lyric section of that. She says, sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby and I'm a monster on the hill. Too big to hang out, slowly lurching toward your favorite city, pierced through the heart, but never killed. I did not take it as her literally feeling too big to hang out. I took it as a metaphor, as her feeling, like, so famous that.
She yeah, that's how I took
doesn't,
it.
Doesn't yeah, like I don't know what people were talking about, but I was like, what?
And I saw some interesting takes too. Well, some people were like, that's such a weird phrasing. Like, why would you put the word sexy with the word baby? Yeah. And I was like, have y'all never heard like people it's call on, their significant other baby?
It's on New Girl. This phrase yeah, people is like on they New want, Girl.
And like I think it's like a weird line, yeah. But I think she did it on purpose, too. Like, she knows what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I kind of took it, too, as, like, everybody, like, oh, everybody else is, like, so cute and sexy and, like, gets to do whatever they want. And then here I am, like, everything I do is scrutinized. Yeah. And I'm way too famous.
That's what I took it as, too. Like, she's too famous. She doesn't really have control over where she goes, like, what she does and everything. Yeah. And then also, like, I feel like she's, like, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't take it as how some people took it.
Yeah. And then some people were saying, like, oh, well, it's commentary on how Hollywood always, like, you know, infantilizes or however like you pronounce that. Like women. Which yeah. I do, like, Hollywood does do that where they make women seem, like, way too young. Where yeah. you're like, we should not be, like, making people, like, high schooler, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, like, they were like, oh, it's commentary on that and how, whatever, like, but I'm like, I don't think that's what she was going for. Like, I think it's really just talking about everybody else is, like, cute and can do whatever they want and she's too famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but I think, too, that's also why it's kind of vague. Like, people can interpret it as however they want.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that a lot with most of her songs. You can interpret, you know.
Your washer is done.
I know, it's my dryer. So let's talk about the music video.
Oh wait, I was gonna say real quick, the line, I have this thing where I get older but just never wiser.
Oh yeah,
the first line, this whole song, just like from that line forward, basically I do, and it reminds me a lot of like intrusive thoughts I would have like in college. You know what I mean?
I hate
like,
intrusive thoughts. I have them all the time.
Well, and I still have them, but for some reason, this just gave me the vibes of, like, being in college and, like, not having any idea what I was supposed to do with my life.
Yeah.
Not that I have any idea now. And just, like, the whole, like, my depression works the graveyard shift, all the people I've ghosted stand there in their room, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, love the... It's me, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Which apparently, too, she says at tea time, everybody agrees.
Because they're talking about her. Some people
say that calls back to, like, right after the whole Kim and Kanye drama with Taylor, Kylie Jenner posted, like, it's tea time on her Instagram page. And I was like, I don't know that this is a callback to that or not.
Maybe.
It could be. Because it's kind of like the whole, like, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. At like everybody agrees, you kind of what? Reminds me of the whole Kim and Kanye.
Yeah, drama, you know what? Okay, so this is very funny because I feel like we're saying like, oh, well, I mean, I guess not. But there's always that quote that she's like said before. I think she was like in an interview where she says like, when a man does something, it's strategic, but when a woman does something, it's calculated. Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like we're just saying like, oh, well, she said this in her song because she wants it to be this way. And I'm like,
I know.
But I don't know if she means like in life, you know, like when a woman does something, oh, she means it this way. Because I feel like songs, like you're putting your music out there for a reason. Like you wrote these lyrics for a reason.
Oh, you know what I mean? No, I think songs is you're supposed to analyze them, yeah. No matter who's.
I just was writing. Thinking about.
I think she was. I think she was more so talking about like. Also, I'm moving a lot. I'm sorry, everybody. I was really uncomfortable. Okay. Anyway, I think she was talking about like in life. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I also really like. Sorry, I had a lot of lyrics I liked.
Oh, okay.
I also really like, did you hear my narcissism disguised as altruism like some sort of congressman?
Yeah.
I really liked that line. It was just, I don't know, it just hit me.
Yeah.
For some reason. Anyway, the music video.
The music video. I thought it was funny.
I really liked it.
I thought it was good.
It was cute.
Yeah. It was cute.
It reminded me of like a 2010s style.
Yeah.
You know?
It's still, I still get some weird vibes from it because the whole setup was very 70s in general too. Like her whole outfit, yeah. The house. I was like, wait a second. Why are we showing a 70s house? Like the song is not screaming 70s to me. But I mean,
I guess it's
just her style, I guess,
just,
right now.
You know. Yeah.
I thought the part with the like funeral part was really funny for some reason. I thought it was like crazy. Also, I liked how they used her that dress on the Kim person.
Wait, what dress?
It's from one of her tours that she wore, like the black dress. They were like, "You're literally wearing the dress from her." I don't know if it was her Fearless tour or something.
Oh.
You didn't notice that?
I think I did, but it's been a minute since I watched the video.
And then I also thought it was funny because in that little section where they're talking, you know, they go, I bet she's hidden something between the lines because she's always good at giving Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. And then she was like, no.
Yeah. And then she wrote, there's nothing in between the lines. I mean what I say. And I kind of feel like that was could have been a jab towards people. Because
yes,
they're like,
everything.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously she does leave Easter eggs. We all know that about her. That's her thing. But, like, I feel like people think that she does it for every single thing. And I just don't think she does.
Yeah, like, and you know what? I feel like that's kind of a callback to the line, too. Like, everybody is a sexy baby and I'm a monster on the hill. Kind of like her calling out, like, everything I say, you guys analyze.
Yeah.
And make it out to be, like, I'm dropping an album. I'm talking about a past relationship. I'm doing whatever. And she's like, I can't even say one sentence without everybody analyzing my entire life.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's kind of like what that line was getting at.
Yeah. Okay. So we can talk about this video being fat phobic.
Okay.
Personally, okay. So obviously like I'm a bigger person. I personally didn't find it fat phobic. I mean, I guess when I watched the video, I was like, oh, like that's kind of like bam right there. But like, I wasn't like immediately like feeling like, oh, like, you know, that's going to be a call out for like everyone. Cause I think that's how she felt. Like she personally feels that way. And like, I guess, yeah, like, if I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh, girl, you're not fat at all. Like, you know. But, like, again, right. it's all perceptive. Like, that's the way she sees herself is that way.
And, like,
and that's a disorder in itself.
About, yes.
that's literally an eating disorder.
About having an eating disorder.
Yeah, I mean, like, seeing yourself as fat when you're, like... I mean, I don't even like to say the word fat because, like, what is even a fat person? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's just kind
of
like...
It's, like, it's subjective a lot of the time. But she's talked about her eating disorder publicly, and, like, part of what comes with her, like, eating disorder...
is, like, body dysmorphia.
Body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then, also, I think, again, like, she's talked about... on top of that, like, how much it affects her when people would speculate that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Or, like, she would wear loose clothing and people would be like, oh, she's hiding something, she's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, like, that just fed into more of her body dysmorphia, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And she changed the music video.
I know. So, it's funny because I saw it online. I immediately sent Shannon a Snapchat about it because I was like, wait a second. Shoot. And I find that very interesting that she changed it, because as someone who's come out and said that part of her leaving country was because everything's sugar-coated and you can't say what you want in your songs.
Oh, I didn't realize she had said that.
Well, I feel like in her, what's it called? Her documentary, she talks about how, like, in country, you know, country people don't really say their political views. They kind of just, like, you know, a straight line. Because, like, yeah. you know, I mean, maybe I, like, read too much into it, but whatever. Anyways, that's how I was picturing it. And then she took it away, which I find that very interesting. I don't know. I just don't think it's something that she would have done. But I guess if she feels like she's offending people... I don't know. I mean, yeah. I can't speak for everyone. So, I mean, if someone feels offended by that, like, I mean.
Well, I wonder, too, if it was less, like, oh, I, like, because at first I was like, why didn't she just come out and say, like, this is about how I view myself because of how the media has portrayed me and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, too, if some of the commentary were other people saying, like, hey, this could lead other people to start having, like, issues with their bodies if, like, you're saying you're fat, you know, then, like, what about, like, the younger girls watching this now? Then what are they going to think when they see this? It's like,
I mean, the music video still shows her standing on a scale and the, you know, her inner self being disappointed. So, I mean, it didn't really change much. It just took the word fat away. You know what I mean? Like, it still shows her standing on a scale, her size that she is now. And then the person beside her, which is herself, being like, no, like, that's not good enough.
Yeah. Which is all part of body dysmorphia. Like,
yeah. And I mean, like, I don't know. You have to take everything with, like, I don't know. I just feel like you can't blame stuff like that on her. Like, that she's just literally telling you how she feels.
Right. And it's kind of like a product of the environment that she, like, is in, you know, where she's expected to be a certain way all the time.
Yeah.
And any change to your body is noticed by the paparazzi.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say that that's one of my favorite songs off the album.
Yeah. It's very catchy.
I think it's really good. I'm like... She didn't, I mean, I guess it has singles now, maybe, but I'm surprised she didn't release, like, that as a single before the
album. I kind of wish she would have released a single.
I know, so I would have known what to expect.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, next we have Snow on the Beach.
Okay, listen, this was the first song I listened to on this album, and you know why? Because I'm obsessed with Lana Del Rey. I love her. If she ever comes into concert, I'm going. That'll be, like, my Taylor Swift. Like, I'll be like, I'll pay $400 for her. I just want to see. Well, you know what the problem is, though? I have heard. I don't know how she is in concert. But some people have said, like, she smokes a lot during her concerts. Which, like, I don't really care. Like, do what you want. But someone was like, I didn't hear her sing that much. And I was like, oh, that sucks. That could have been a bad That's time for her. I don't know. That was a long time ago. Anyways.
Yeah, I feel like maybe her PR person at this point would have been like, don't do that.
I don't even think she's done, like, a tour in so long either. Like, she's just straight chilling.
Yeah, but you were a little...
So I was disappointed. I immediately played the song, and I was like, where the hell is she singing? She barely sings in this. I've seen a few TikToks where it's like Lana Del Rey when Taylor asks if she would be on a song with her, and it's her sitting in like the booth listening to Taylor swing and filing her nails. Because when you say that someone's going to be on a song with you, you expect them to sing more. Like, yeah, I feel like you expect it to be half and half. Especially because they put that she also wrote the song. They have Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, and then
that's what I kind of song.
So like
I read about too, like a lot of times like featuring somebody who's also like really famous can also just talk about like their writing credits. So like it can be whatever deal like her and Lana kind of worked out. Yeah. Because like obviously Lana had to agree to whatever part she played. So like I guess she didn't really care to
She probably didn't because she's released like two albums in the past like year. But
right,
like she obviously doesn't need to be featured on Taylor Swift's album, but I just felt like how are you gonna come out and say like you have a song with Lana Del Rey and then she barely sings in it?
I
just wanted her to sing
mind
more
to me.
But you're not a huge Lana Del Rey fan.
Yeah, but I liked her like harmony backup vocals like a lot.
Yeah, which I mean it's fine. It's the same thing with her re-released albums. Like she has one with Chris Stapleton.
He's just background, you know?
You barely hear him singing that too.
And that's kind of, I think, kind of like somewhat common in like featured song. Like when any artist features somebody, they're usually not like super prominent.
I just thought it was interesting because her Phoebe Bridgers sings. Yeah, like she sings a lot. So I think I was just expecting the same thing with Lana Del Rey because Taylor Swift has talked about how she loves Lana Del Rey's music. So I mean, I think in my head I was like, oh, like she'll have a good amount of singing in this song too. But
so what do you think about the criticisms that Taylor Swift regulates female artists features in her songs and doesn't like let them actually duet versus her usual male, like usually it's like a duet with male artists?
That is actually okay, I'm not gonna say that's true, but like now that you kind of point that out, most males that she does, they literally have a full part in the song.
Yeah, like other than like Chris Stapleton or like maybe Keith Urban in that one song. And most of her female features other than like Phoebe Bridgers are kind of more backup vocals.
Yeah.
However, I don't think it's necessarily a fair criticism because
here's the thing.
People are just saying
it's her album.
She should be...
Right. I mean, like, if they were coming out with a joint song, I guess. But if
that would be
I
different.
Feel like,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I'm mad that Lana Del. Sorry, I'm moving too. I'm mad that Lana Del Rey isn't in the song as much. But if it's Taylor Swift coming to her saying, "Hey, I wrote a song. Maybe you can help me with like a harmony type thing. Do you want to be in the background?" And she was like, "Yes." Like that. It is what it is. But yeah, I didn't think about that. She does have a lot of the male.
But here's kind of what I'm leaning towards. I don't think, well, so people are saying she should be using her position to like elevate like, you know, newer female artists, like, you know, smaller female artists, whatever. Yeah. Instead of, you know, they're just in the background.
Yeah.
I don't think that's her responsibility for one.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it'd be cool to see her do some duets with, like, girls just, like, about whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think it's fair to put that responsibility on a singer.
I can see where people are coming from, though, because she's all about, like, didn't she get that Woman of the Year thing or something like that? And she's all about,
like, to elevate.
Yeah, she was all about talking about how, like, we have to support women in music, all that stuff. So I can see where people are coming from. But at the end of the day, it's her album. And if she's coming to you asking if you want to do this, you can say no.
I was kind of thinking it'd be really amazing if when she re-records Debut, she did a duet with Dolly. I would literally pass out.
I don't think she would.
I don't think she will
For
either.
For some reason, I'm like, do they even, like, I've never seen an interaction between Taylor Swift and Dolly Parton.
I know, but wouldn't it be I so mean, nice?
Yeah, that'd be like two great things coming together, but I do you think anyway. That if Taylor Swift did a song with Dolly Parton, do you think that Dolly would be like, I'm not just gonna be a background singer? Because I feel like she would.
Absolutely.
Because the fact that didn't she like not give Elvis her song, You'll Always Love Me, because they were gonna
he wouldn't give her writing credits or something,
So I feel like if maybe, but do you think that's why they haven't done a song together? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't think so.
I feel like they're just like on two different paths, honestly. But
well, I mean, also like she's very clearly willing. Like she did a full duet with Phoebe Bridgers. I just feel like it has to be the right song.
You know what I mean? But like I didn't realize like if you're talking to statistically about it, she definitely has more. Her. Because if you think about her Red album, she has at least two songs in that whole album are duets.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, moving on. My synthesis of this song is I liked it, but I wish that... Oh, I will say, there's like a thing in there, like a line that says, all for you, like Janet.
Oh, yeah, and then Janet Jackson.
Yeah, because it's a reference. I didn't realize it's a reference to her. I was looking, and I was like, all for you, like Janet. I was like, what does that even mean? And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, that's a song. I really liked the line, my smile is like I won a contest, to hide that would be so dishonest. Like, when you're just, like, so in love with somebody that you, like, you just can't help but smile so big. It's a sweet song. It's probably actually not my favorite song.
I think, it's funny. I put that this song would probably be on, like, Lover or 1989.
I think it'd be more 1989. Like, I think lyrics-wise, Lover, but sound-wise, 1989. Yeah.
Anyways, next song.
Next.
Is.
You're On Your Own, Kid. You did not like this song right
now. I didn't at first. And then when I look at the lyrics, it's actually kind of like sad, like revelation almost.
Yeah.
Like I literally copied the bridge because like the bridge is great actually in this song.
Yeah, I think at first, again, was kind of thrown off by the sound, but I actually think it's one of my favorites on the album now, honestly.
Like, the bridge is so, like, good / sad. Like, it's just, like, a big revel. Like, the whole bridge is her, like, realizing stuff, in my opinion. Because she has, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears for this. I hosted parties and starved my body. Like, I'd saved by a perfect kiss. The jokes weren't funny. I took the money. My friends from home don't know what to say. I looked around in a blood-soaked gown, and I saw something they can't take away.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people use that as, like, a TikTok sound. That, like, I've hosted parties and starved my body. Like, when you're just going after something you want.
Yeah.
And, like, you're sacrificing everything.
I mean, like, I feel like this whole part is her, this whole bridge is her just realizing she's, like, you grow up, pretty much. You go through life.
Yeah.
But it is kind of sad because it's about her. It's like a friendship that she wishes turned into love but didn't.
Yeah, like everything you lose is a step you take. So make the friendship bracelets, take the moment and taste it. You've got no reason to be afraid. Kind of just like as you grow up, things are going to suck sometimes, but like you can do it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't like this really at first, but I feel like the more I've listened to it, the more I like it.
Let me see. Yeah, I just like the whole thing of like I waited patiently, he's gonna notice me, it's okay, we're the best of friends, just like an unrequited type of crush where you like really like them.
It's kind of sad though because she's talking like they were friends, right? She like makes it seem like they were friends like growing up because she talks about like sprinkler like splashes to fireplace ashes.
And then it's like, I touch my phone as if it's your face, which I was like, dang, Taylor Swift does that too. Just like when you're like, I don't know, just when you have a big crush on somebody and you're like, and you know they don't like you back and you're like, just waiting on that text or something.
She don't do that anymore. She probably used to.
She got little Joe now.
She got little Joey.
This makes me... Like, it almost makes me feel like it's about, like, a crush she had in, like, high school. Yeah.
It could not even be her. One... Because the way this sounds is like she literally had someone she was like obsessed with, you know, growing up, and it just didn't work out.
Like, I didn't choose
this. It could be related to her teardrops on my guitar. Because wasn't that the same kind of aspect?
Yeah,
I was kind of thinking that.
Yeah, just like they're friends, but he doesn't like her back. I really liked I picked the petals he loves me not. Something different bloomed, writing in my room. I placed my songs in the parking lot. I'll run away. Kind of like, it didn't work out. He didn't like me back, but almost like because of that, I started writing and like, look what my life has become, you know?
So it could have, like, I mean, you could be right. It could be a song from a while ago. But I feel like if it was from a long time ago, it would be more country. Unless she just changed the...
Well, no, because I think too, like, I don't think it's necessarily that she wrote the songs back then, because I think then it'd be on her From the Vault tracks. I think it's more if she was probably, like, looking through her old, like, journal entries or something. And then, like, kind of wrote songs inspired by those thoughts. Or, like, you know, she could have written the lyrics and then not had the music until just now.
True. Okay. Well, how do you feel about Midnight Rain's intro, Shannon?
This is probably my least favorite song on that album. No hate, Taylor. I just don't love the auto-tune, like, deep voice thing.
It's kind of like, what the point? Like, what's the point? Why did she do that?
I don't know. Like, if she wanted to have, like, a male-sounding voice, she should have duetted with somebody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Taylor, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, but...
You don't think she's gonna listen to this? What?
Maybe. What if she's one of our 20 listeners?
Peace, Wizzle. We might be talking about your albums, but we actually like you, okay?
No, like, I love you. Like, you don't understand.
So, there's a lot of speculation that this song is about Tom Hiddleston, right?
So I have heard that, but I've also heard Taylor Lautner.
Oh, interesting. Could be, because the problem is that they're both so nice, and she talks about him being nice in the song. So
yes, and I feel like the reason I kind of lean towards Taylor Lautner is because, well, A, he wanted a bride, I'm making my own name. Like, I don't know that Tom necessarily wanted to marry her, you know?
I don't know. They but
I could see.
I feel like out of all of her boyfriends, they were pictured the most doing a ton of stuff. And they...
But they only dated for, like, a couple months.
But that's what... I think that's what was crazy about it, is, like, they literally, like... Didn't they have, like, that house that they... Or, like, her house that they lived in for a while? Because all of her friends would come over all the time.
I have no idea about that, to be honest.
Because that's when she was all, like, in her, like, Taylor gang, you know? Like, they had those things where it was, like, are you a part of the club? The Taylor Swift club or something?
Yeah, but I'm also just thinking, like, chasing that fame, he stayed the same, all of me changed, like, Midnight. I feel like... She was already very famous by the time Tom Hiddleston came around.
True.
And I feel like chasing that fame would be more of like her Taylor Lautner era. But I mean, it could again be a combo of both.
That
you
is
know,
true.
Like I feel like.
Like a mixture, like of the ones who kind of like got away, but like they weren't necessarily right for her.
Okay, hold on a second. So, verse one, she's like, my town was a wasteland full of cages, full of fences. Pageant queens and big pretenders, but for some it was paradise. My boy was a montage, a slow motion love potion, jumping off things in the ocean. Is that not like literally Jacob jumping off of La Push Beach?
Or it could be what I had just said about how they spent all that time at her house on the beach. I'm just
no.
I don't... Do we think... Well, I guess Taylor Swift has seen Twilight because she did do an SNL skit.
Right. But I'm just thinking, too, I broke his heart because he was nice, which I know she did break... Well, supposedly broke Tom Hiddleston's heart. Because she's, like, written apology songs, kind of. But also, she wrote a pretty heartfelt apology song to Taylor Lautner.
But you're right. Like, it could be a combination. December. But I don't think so, though, because it kind of flows into one story, it seems like.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could work if they were both, like, really... So, here's another... Oh, I just hit my mic. I'm so sorry, everybody. Here's another one. It came like a postcard, picture perfect, shiny family, holiday peppermint candy. December.
Yeah.
Back to December, Taylor Lautner.
I guess we'd have to see when Tom Hiddleston and her dated.
I know.
That kind of does make sense, though. You're right. Peppermint candy. I didn't dive that much into the song. I heard.
I'm just like reading.
Oh, no, okay. I could see it being about Taylor Lautner.
But most importantly, the auto-tune needs to go. I'm sorry. Taylor,
I don't really mind it that much. I think that's a new thing that artists do these days. But, I mean, it would be fine without it, too.
I just don't like how it made her voice so deep. I was like, what is this? But I like the lyrics a lot. I think it's a really beautiful, like, lyrical song.
It's kind of like a breakup, but, like, you know. That's what I'm saying. I feel like this album is definitely a big self-reflection of herself. And, like, her choices in relationships. Which, that's not something we usually see from her.
Yeah, I agree. It's very grown up, I feel like. Are you ready for question?
Yeah.
How do you feel about this song?
I definitely think, obviously, that it was written a while ago. I will say, this is when I really do actually think that it was, like this was her 1989 era. No, maybe she didn't write the whole thing, but it definitely could have been on the album. Because the whole song is, it sounds like Out of the Woods, obviously. So then also, people are like, is this a Harry Styles song? Because Out of the Woods is about Harry Styles. Supposedly.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of TikToks where it's like, I don't know why I've ever doing this, but when they, you remember when they talked at, was it the Grammys they talked at? Or, and like, that's like the first time you ever saw them have a conversation since, you know, I don't even, which I'm sure they've talked, whatever. Anyways, there's a lot of like, this song's being put over their conversation. Like, can I ask you a question? It just kind of just makes you laugh. But
so, Good Girl Sad Boy, that's how the song opens. She was a good, like, she was the quote-unquote good girl when they dated, because they dated right around the time Red came out. So she was still like good girl, but was he like a sad boy?
I don't know, he has a lot of emotions, I think, in general. So
that's true,
like, but I think okay, if we're saying that Out of the Woods is about him, I feel like this has to be about him, because why would she put
Are we out of the woods?
She put that I remember at the very beginning of the song. And it's got the same tone as Out of the Woods.
Okay, hold on a moment, though. What about it being a nod to John Mayer?
I feel like anytime... your thing, you always go back, this is about John Mayer.
Okay, I think he's probably not the best person, or at least
she's
wasn't,
still, she's
allegedly.
Still talking about John Mayer in 1989, though? Is that what we're saying?
Okay, but I'm saying, like, say she wrote this song even before 1989.
I don't think she did, though, because it's very similar to Out of the Woods. It's literally pretty much the same.
But maybe she just put the same, like, a different style of music, because, hold on. He would have been, like, sad boy, and she was definitely a good girl when they dated. You know what I mean? But then let me find the line. Hold your horses. Where is it? It's the line, I don't remember... I don't remember who I was before you. And that doesn't sound like Harry Styles. Because I feel like that relationship wasn't that serious at all. Where's the line that I'm looking for? I wrote it down, but now I don't even see it.
I don't know either. I do like this song. I like it too.
Okay. So it's the first verse. Sorry. We had one thing going on. I swear that it was something because I don't remember who I was before you painted all my nights a color I've searched for since. And you know what other song she mentions painting in? Dear John. When she says, I gave you my blue sky, or you gave me your gray, whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I gave you my blue skies and you went and painted them gray.
Okay, but she also talks about the color red in Red, the song. I don't think that's a no to the same song as Dear John. I think that she just talks about colors as like personality traits. Yeah,
I think you're right.
Because what is she?
But I'm just saying painting and painting.
Isn't that song Invisible Strings talk about color too?
Yeah, but I'm not saying color in general. I'm saying that she just mentioned the word painting. You painted all my nights. I don't know. I just feel like this is about a more serious relationship than Harry
Styles. Watch it, we'll never know, but I was going to say watch it be, like, about one of her friends.
I know. And, you know, I'm, like, saying this, too, like, and we're literally making fun of people who don't know stuff, and here we are. Okay. She also says, got swept away in the gray. Blue skies painted to gray. I don't know. I'm just pretty, like...
You're convinced it's John Mayer.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm not. I don't know. I think it's a combo.
I don't know either. I mean, it could just be about... it could be about nobody and literally... I mean, because, like, if you really think about it, it's, like, she wrote this with, what's his name? Jack Antonoff or whatever? Watch it be, like, about Lena Dunham or something like that.
Gosh, I forgot that they dated. Yeah. That's so weird. All right. Next song, Vigilante Shit. Obviously, that would be on Reputation.
Yeah, 100%.
I
like the line, I don't start shit, but I can tell you how it ends.
Yeah, I liked that too. It kind of reminded me of Very Grown Up, Better Than Revenge, which is on Speak Now.
I don't remember that one.
Except instead of being like getting revenge on the other woman, it's her and the other woman teaming up and getting revenge on the guy. Yeah,
it's funny, a lot of people were... putting her, I don't dress for women, I don't dress for men, I've been dressing for revenge or whatever, and they keep showing her when she was promoting, I think it was when she was promoting her Red album, but they'll show her dress and it looked exactly like Lady Diana, her black dress.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people were putting that together.
Yeah, I've seen that. I really liked, but lately I've been dressing for revenge lines. Yeah. It's also kind of like a high class, like no body, no crime. Yeah. Because, you know, that one they frame somebody for murder, but in this one she says, while he was doing lines and crossing all of mine, someone told his white collar crimes to the FBI. Yeah.
She didn't frame him for murder. What's the one where they like, now she's driving in your Benz or something like that? I like that one too. Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me see.
In this song?
Yeah. She says... She says she needed cold hard proof, so I gave her some. She had the envelope. Where you think she got it from? Now she gets the house, gets the kids, gets the pride. Picture me thick as thieves with your ex-wife. And she looks so pretty driving in your Benz. Lately, she's been dressing for revenge.
I know. I was literally almost like, is this about, like, Kim Kardashian? And Kanye West?
Are her and Taylor Swift friends now?
I don't think so, but just the whole ex-wife thing.
Oh, true.
Did you see that Kanye West,
his net worth went down? He used to be a billionaire. Now he's millionaire.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because literally, I kid you not, the day before, for some reason, me and Michaela were looking up net worth of people. I don't know why. I think we started with net worth of Taylor Swift. And then we just were like, what's the net worth of Kanye? And we were like, damn, he's a billionaire. And the next day, they had said, damn. Kanye West's net worth is like a millionaire now. He's not a billionaire anymore. Because so many brands dropped him. That is besides the point. We're not talking about Kanye, but anyways. It's kind of all related.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about him. It just reminds me so much of Reputation, which, you know, is, like, about the whole Kanye drama, basically. Yeah. So, that's why I brought it up. It just reminds me, it's, like, a very, like, high-class nobody, no crime, or, like, whatever. Like, it's just, like, we're gonna freaking turn your crimes in. You're doing cocaine. We're teaming up together. You're about to
be caught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like it. I mean,
yeah, I like it too. It's fun. It's like
I will say it's kind of like an outlier on this album. I don't think any of her songs are like this one, per se.
No, I agree.
But that's kind of like her like Nobody No Crime one. That's kind of an outlier on her Evermore album.
Yeah, I don't know. That still sounded kind of like folksy though, or like country-ish. I like the line too, that I don't dress for villains or for the innocents. I'm on my vigilante shit again. Yeah. Big fan.
Well,
I think that it would be fun to sing the song after like a breakup, you know?
About taking the kids.
Now we have
number 9.
Now we have Bejeweled.
I am not a fan. Not that big of a fan.
You know, I go back and forth.
I don't mind the song. I just don't. I'm not that big of a fan. But I will say, if you need to listen to this song and then listen to Gorgeous from Reputation.
Gorgeous. I was trying to figure out what song this sounded like. And I swear
they're very similar. Because she's like, you know, she does that part. She goes, "You're so gorgeous." And then I feel like the same way she says, "Best believe I'm still bejeweled," all that stuff. I feel like they're very similar. I don't know. Immediately when I heard the song, I was like, is this related to Gorgeous? Did she write this at the same time?
Interesting. I wrote that I like the song, but I don't think I'm smart enough to fully understand it yet.
Her music video is interesting.
Yeah, it's like very Cinderella, and there's like a million Easter eggs for Speak Now.
Yeah, literally. I didn't even, so me and Michaela watched it, and I didn't even catch that one of the Speak Now songs was playing instrumental version at the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't even
notice. I didn't notice that.
And then like the elevator.
Yeah, Michaela was like, I love this song. And I was like, what song? And she was like, the music version playing. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh, wait, is this song?
It's Enchanted, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I'm thinking there's a song which is Elevator Buttons and Morning Air. I think that song is on Speak Now, too. There's a song that mentions elevator buttons. And I'm pretty sure it's on Speak Now. It's called Ours, the song.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. I think that is on Speak Now.
Crazy.
But I need you to listen to Gorgeous. Because I like, listen to this song and then listen to Gorgeous. And I feel like, I can't be the only one that's like, oh, these songs are very similar.
So I think what I don't fully understand about the song is I don't really get the whole familiarity breeds contempt, don't put me in the basement when I want the penthouse of your heart. What does that mean, you know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that lyric means, but...
Yeah, I actually do really like this song. I think it confuses me. But you know what it kind of reminds me of? There's a line in All Too Well 10-minute version where she says something along the lines of, like, you wanted me to be, like, an ever-shining jewel whose shine reflects on you. And it kind of, like, just reminds me of that, like, I don't know. I think just, like, talking about, I'm still bejeweled when I walk in the room, and I could, almost like a rebound of that line of, like, being sad that her boyfriend wants her to be this jewel who's always perfect. But now that he's gone, like,
you know what? I'm actually still Bejeweled, so.
That is true. It could be like a post-breakup song, but like.
Yeah.
Kind of like a at.
It kind of, I feel like this song might have like, could have been on Lover.
I could see it on Lover, but I could also see it on Reputation because I said it sounds like Gorgeous to me.
Yeah, that's true. You did say that. Well, you know, Gorgeous is about Joe Alwyn for sure, but I don't think the song is about Joe Alwyn.
No. I just think like the, if you listen to like the beat and everything, I think it sounds very, very similar. I don't know. But I just immediately when I heard it, I automatically was like, oh, this sounds like Gorgeous to me. I don't know why I thought that, but I did. So.
Yeah. I also like, and I missed you, but I miss Sparkling. Like, yeah, you were nice. I miss you. But I miss now I'm me again. Sparkling. You know what? It could kind of be, like, maybe about the Calvin Harris, like, end. Because, like, just, like, that whole, like, when they ask, do you have a man? And I say, I don't remember. Like, I feel like a lot of her, like, ending the Calvin Harris relationships was, like, her kind of, like, trying to find an out. So, like, going out with Tom Hiddleston, like, kind of possibly cheating on Calvin Harris, you know?
I kind of forget that she,
dated him?
Dated Calvin Harris.
I know. Yeah. Which is kind of funny, because they dated for, like, over a year.
Yeah, that's very weird.
But that whole song, I Forgot That You Existed, I think is about him, so it's kind of fitting. Mm. Poor guy.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna fix my microphone really fast, guys. I might be able to take that section out.
Okay.
I mean, you can keep recording because I can cut yours out too, so don't worry about it. All right.
You're an editing queen.
Hell yeah, I am.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyways.
Our last.
What's the last song?
The last song we'll do for today is Labyrinth. To me, that song is kind of like about being confused about like loving somebody, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, like, my favorite line of that song was probably, everybody just expects me to bounce back just like that. And I feel like that's another kind of, like, play on Antihero. Like, I feel like Antihero was, like, the theme of the whole album, if that makes sense.
I feel like that's probably why she did a music video of that one.
Probably. Because, like, it just is, like, that whole, like, the whole media, like, I have to be perfect as soon as I am broken up with. Yeah. Like, I can't just, like, mourn or whatever. Like, I have to bounce back immediately. I feel like I don't know that I love the sound of this song, but I do really like the lyrics, and I feel like I very much related to it.
This one's kind of a short song.
It is really short. Well, no, it's not. It's, like, 4 minutes.
Oh, it's just the lyrics. She says uh-oh again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I you know what this kind of gives me the same vibes of? Because I feel like it's about her, you know, getting back out there.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it kind of reminds me of that song, Begin Again.
I literally wrote that down. I said, kind of, I was like, Begin Again vibes. I agree. And I like the opening line of it only hurts this much right now was what I was thinking the whole time. And I feel like, I don't know, that just reminds me of like the first time I ever got like dumped in high school. Yeah. And I was just
She talks about breathing a lot. And all I keep thinking is, take a deep breath.
Oh my gosh. And all I was just like, you know, when you're in that much pain and you're reminding yourself like, this is only temporary, it'll be fine.
And breathe in, breathe out.
I just like the sound. I guess I do kind of like the sound of the chorus of the like falling in love again. I thought the plane was going down. Yeah, that's kind of fun to sing. I don't know. It's kind of like she's convincing herself she's okay, and then she kind of like finds a.
Well, yeah, I think it's like it's almost like a rebound. Like the song's about having a rebound.
This is Tom Hiddleston. No, I think this is Joe Alwyn, who she's falling in love with.
Well, I hope Joe Alwyn wasn't offers a rebound.
I know, you're right. You're right.
She talks about elevators in this one too, Shannon.
Elevator. Yes, I'm telling you. I cannot
wait. She has an obsession with elevators.
Yeah, she does.
You can't wait till what comes out?
Speak Now.
Oh. We're not talking about that album right now, Shannon.
I know.
I honestly can't wait to talk about the next 10 songs, because I feel like...
Those are my favorite ones.
Those are some good bops, like...
Yeah, for sure. That's really all I have to say about Labyrinth. Like, it wasn't anything...
Yeah, I didn't find it, like, a special song. It was just kind of like a...
That's the thing is I wish there was more lyrics, I guess, because I really liked the lyrics had.
There were it wasn't enough
for me. Like, I needed...
Yeah.
I think 10-minute version of All Too Well really spoiled me, and so now I'm like, every song...
Now you're like, every song needs to be at least...
Yes.
9 minutes of lyrics only.
Yes, exactly. But I would say first half of the album, the first 10 songs, were good. But I think the second 10 songs, including like the midnight, the 3 a.m. ones, I think are like top tier for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about, like, just the second half of the album is really, really good to me.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think I like some of the songs in the first half, but... I don't know if they're, like, necessarily my favorite. I really like Karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny, because I feel like Karma would probably be on 1989, but...
Yeah. I think Karma would be more Reputation.
Really?
Yeah.
For and then sure. I feel like...
Well, we're not talking about high that. That's next
week. Yeah, you're right. I think I like some of these songs because they sound more like Folklore. The next
I agree.
Like, I think there's still her Folklore.
I think as a preview for next week, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. What If Should Have Could Have is probably my favorite song on the whole album.
Why? Because it's about John Mayer. I'm so done with you.
I feel like all of her other, every time she writes about an ex, it's very like elusive, like it could really be about anybody and we just assume like who it's about, but I think that
the songs about, so obviously like the best songs that she's written about are John Mayer and Jake. What we think is John Mayer and Jake Gyllenhaal,
allegedly,
we don't know for sure.
Yeah,
so but like it's just like any song she writes about them, we're immediately like, dang, that's a good song.
I know.
But it's like, why is it? Because we I feel know like, it's about them or what?
I feel like it's those two relationships were so... She was so young. And your emotions
Raw. Yeah, I saw a TikTok about that. This is another preview, guys. But I saw a TikTok about that song where it's like someone was acting like Jake Gyllenhaal's publicist. And they're like, wait a second. She said she was 19.
I know.
This isn't about you. We're safe. You're safe. Go shoot that movie.
No, because I just feel like they're so good because it's like she was so young, so the emotions are like, I feel like you feel them so much more when you're younger.
Yeah.
And it's like they really kind of like, I feel like, were her worst, like hardest relationships. And so I feel like there's just, that is an aspect too of like there were such hard relationships. Which is funny
because I don't think they dated, she didn't date either one of them that long.
No, but I just, you know, imagine being.
But 19. She was at that prime age where it's like.
You think everything is going to lead to, like, your happily
yeah,
ever after.
Like a happy ending, yeah.
And I feel like she's already kind of, like, a hopeless romantic anyway.
Yeah.
And especially these are men that are, like, already in the industry and they're, like, 10 years older. Like, I don't know. But I just feel like all her other, even the songs about Jake Gyllenhaal, allegedly, they're kind of elusive. Like, they don't explicitly really say anything that gives him away. We've just, like, figured it out as fans.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But this one does.
I feel like the songs that are allegedly about John Mayer.
Well,
one is literally
one of them
called
is
Dear
literally
John.
Called Dear John.
And
yeah.
Then she literally has her age in that song. And then this song literally has her age. And who did she date when she was that old? One. Well, she might have dated another person. But one person.
Johnny Boy.
And again, allegedly, I'm not trying to get sued by his people.
Yeah, we don't know.
I just think it's really interesting that those, that it's very obvious in those songs compared to a lot of her other songs. And it could be about something.
Which supposedly he's a better person these days. Yeah. So.
Good for him.
He went to that, didn't he go to like a farm or something? Like Montana or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you needed to do, then that's what you needed to do, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways,
we'll save the rest of that conversation for next time.
We'll be back in another 2 weeks to talk about the next half of the album.
Gonna be lit.
Maybe Shannon will figure out ticket prices by then and tell you if she paid $400 for one. Or $500. What did you say? I can't remember.
I said I would pay $500. Y'all, I'm going to start GoFundMe.
Everyone heard that here, right? Shannon's going to pay $500 to see some tea swizzle.
Really? Music. Okay. Realistically, I actually want to pay like $250-ish. But I am just worried that also realistically, they're all going to be like sold out. So
I feel like most of her concerts are sold out. So
right. And I'm like, how the heck do people get
tickets? And she hasn't had a tour in
4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And so, she's like, only gotten more fans since then.
Yeah, this one's definitely going to be.
What am I going to do?
Save some money now.
I literally said.
Put in some extra hours.
I said, if she was going to be in Atlanta on the day I was getting married, like, what would I have done? You know?
You would have just gone to the other one. She's had two concerts.
Yeah, but what if one was my rehearsal dinner?
Well, you can go after your rehearsal dinner. Make your rehearsal dinner a rehearsal lunch.
I would be like, I'm not. I would literally make a poster so I got chosen to meet her at the end of the concert. Because, you know, they pick people to meet her.
I skipped my rehearsal dinner to come here.
I'd be like, I literally skipped my rehearsal dinner to be here. And then she better freaking meet me.
That's funny.
Anyway, I am going to sign off because I am tired.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Where can they follow us at?
They can follow us at chicks. I don't know what just happened. chicks.in.flicks or email us at chicksandflicks23@gmail.com. Please like, subscribe, and follow wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really help us out.
Yeah.
And tell us if you like us expanding our reviews to non-movies.
Tell us your favorite Taylor Swift song. And that's album. What you should post on Instagram.
Oh, I will.
Shannon.
Oh, I will. You can edit that part out.
Because you're the problem that we have zero fans.
I know. All right. Shannon and Bailey signing off.
Bye.